Tonight's topic to prepare our hearts for communion is newness. Newness. So, Happy New Year. Happy New Year to all. What does that expression bring to mind? New beginnings? Changes from the past? Resolutions? Good intentions for changes? Newness can be very appealing. A new car, a new better job, new fitness program, a new aspect of a relationship. All these things hold promise of improvement, and that's good. But the Lord takes newness much deeper. He must. First, he showed us that the old wasn't good enough. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 31, please, and I'll read. So I plan to start in verse 31, when Jeremiah speaks of a promise from the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 31, starting in verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in that day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. And don't miss this one. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more, said the Lord. The Lord took the people by the hand and led them out of Egypt. He established his covenant with them, the law. Perfect love of God and of neighbor, and everything that flows from it, what to do and what not to do. But they broke it, though the Lord was with them like a husband, a protector for them. The new covenant is different. The Lord writes his law on their hearts, on the hearts of the people of Israel. All shall know the Lord, from the least to the greatest. The Lord will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more. Amen. The law on tablets of stone, it is perfect, reviving the soul. We know it is right, good, and we just don't do it. Not all of it. The new covenant is written on the heart. Yes. The heart of flesh by faith. And by it the Lord forgives our iniquities and remembers our sins no more. Everybody, that is all except one, broke the old covenant. Since we broke it, our only hope was and is for the Lord to make a new covenant, completely based on his holy self, providing a way to remember our sins and iniquities no more. So this scripture that I just read, that we just looked at, is reproduced in the book of Hebrews, chapter 8. Scripture reproduced in scripture, may we pay close attention to it. The writer of Hebrews looks back to the first covenant and discusses the new covenant, which has been revealed. Let's read starting in Hebrews chapter 7 at the end of that chapter. So let's turn to the New Testament and to Hebrews, which is heading toward Revelation, but not that far. Okay, so we're going to read starting in the end of verse, or end of chapter 7, starting in verse 28, and then chapter 8. And he's explaining these things about the high priesthood and the law and how the Lord came to be the perfect high priest. Starting verse 28, for the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son of God, who has been perfected forever. Now, this is the main point of the things we're saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected, not a man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. If he had been on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed to do when he was about to make the tabernacle. For the Lord said, see that you make these things according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain, the pattern that he had given to Moses. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, and this is the quote from Jeremiah, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor. None of them shall say to his brother, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. So that's quite a portion that he, the writer of Hebrews, reproduced from Jeremiah. In that he says, verse 13, now, in that he says a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. So looking at this section more closely, there in verse 28, the Son has been perfected forever. That's at the end of chapter 7. Perfected forever. Forever, forever. It's a word of God. Amen. Only God has the ability to make forever a reality. Then in chapter 8, the first verse, the Son, he is our high priest, who is already, currently, at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven. Our high priest is now at God's right hand in the true tabernacle, which the Lord, only the Lord, erected. There was the shadow was shown and specifically given to Moses that was carried out with the first tabernacle to reflect those things in heaven, the true tabernacle which the Lord made. The earthly tabernacle, verse 5, was a copy and a shadow of the heavenly, built as Moses was divinely instructed. Verse 6, but now he is the mediator of a better covenant. A mediator. A mediator is one who intervenes between two. Moses foreshadowed the perfect mediator as he intervened for the people before God. As you remember, when the people sinned, Moses fell on his face before God and intervened for the people before God. And the blood of animals sacrificed showed the seriousness of the need to be cleansed from sin. That foreshadowed the perfect blood, which the perfect mediator presented. Verses 7 through 12 repeated the verses from Jeremiah of the Lord's recognition that a new covenant was needed, a change of heart from the heart of God, his mercy toward our unrighteousness. The Lord's new covenant has made the first obsolete. So the new covenant required the perfect sinless mediator to satisfy God's perfect standard. That promised newness is now reality. The perfect mediator impacts our newness. As we receive him and as our needed mediator and Lord, he infuses us with newness. Jesus spoke of the significance of how the old is replaced with the new within. He spoke about this to John's disciples. So let's look at what Jesus said about newness. This is in Matthew chapter 9. So turn to Matthew, please. Verses 14 through 17. Matthew chapter 9. Then the disciples of John came to Jesus, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." There is newness in the closeness to the Lord, the bridegroom. Celebration of being with the bridegroom, the Lord. Fasting has not been done away with, but while the bridegroom is there, there is that newness of celebration and difference from some of the practices of the day. Jesus spoke of the significance of how the old is replaced with the new within, as the wine goes into the wineskins, as the new of the Lord through the Holy Spirit goes into us. And he spoke about this to John's disciples. There is a newness in the closeness to the Lord, the bridegroom. Fasting has not been done away with. Things are so new in his new covenant. It is like new wine, which can't be received in an old wineskin. As his first miracle showed, his new wine. If you remember his first miracle at the wedding and the pots of water that he, per his mom's instruction, made into wine. So that was his first miracle, perhaps portending the newness of the new wine in Christ. With a new covenant comes new clarity of the doctrine and the power over evil, which the people had a hard time drinking in. So let's read that portion of Scripture. Again, looking more at the newness of the Lord as we go to Mark this time, chapter 1, starting in verse 21. Mark 1, verse 21. Then they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet. Come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Newness of words spoken with authority, an explanation, and power over the strong man to cast out the one unclean spirit in this case. Yet those who do drink in Christ, receiving him as Lord and Savior, do become new in the deepest places. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 2, read about that, the newness the Lord gives in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll read it in more depth in a moment. First, I'll start with verse 17 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, that person is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Not just new intentions, not resolving of the will, but a fully new person. So now let's look more deeply. I'll read starting at verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, we now know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And continuing. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So to go through this carefully, it's kind of a hard passage. Verse 14, one died for all. Therefore, then, all died in him who died. And then verse 15, we live for him who died for us and rose again. So it's the concept of the one, the Lord died for all, and therefore all died in a similar way in him. And now we live for him as he who was raised raises us up in the newness of him. Verse 16, Christ Jesus was known in the flesh as a fellow man. At that time, he was walking the earth. Yet now, not so, is what the scripture is saying, for it's different now. He died. He died from the mortal ways. So we view, in this passage, we view him, the Lord, differently because he's no longer walking the earth with us, through the Holy Spirit, yes, but not as a person. And so now we know him only as the one who died and who rose. So therefore, since we no longer know Christ according to the flesh, since he died and is risen, we also view others, including ourselves, who are in Christ, likewise to the way we view him. The things that die when we breathe our last, the cares, the riches, the difficulties of the world, fade away as we consider the risen Lord, and similarly consider those in him with things of the flesh fading away. In this life, we are easily distracted. But as the Lord, as the Holy Spirit focuses our attention on the lasting, the eternal, God pleads in us and through us to be reconciled to God through Christ, our mediator, the mediator of the new covenant. Hallelujah. So, Happy New Year. In our goals, in our resolutions, in our day-to-day interactions, desires, sins, joys, pain, misunderstandings, learnings, failures, successes, may our governing thoughts return to the depth of the Lord's compassion for us. That the Lord would mercifully and graciously provide a new covenant through the blood of our perfect mediator, the beloved Son of God. May we be amazed and encouraged by such a one who is behind it all. Amen. As we find in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 23, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Again, this is Old Testament, great stuff. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is, Lord, thy faithfulness. Great. All right. As we turn now to communion sacrament, one more verse about newness, which the Lord Jesus spoke. In John chapter 13, verse 34, he said, A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. How did he love us? As he said about himself in John chapter 3, verses 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Such love that he spoke about, knowing what he was going to do. What love. All right. Now for the words of institution. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. As we're ready to partake in the communion sacrament. So Matthew 26, starting in verse 26. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening thankful for an opportunity to celebrate your newness, the newness, Lord, that you make possible even in each of us through the power of Jesus Christ, our mediator, the one who took the horrible death for our sakes, his blood, his body. Lord Jesus, you gave for us to become that mediator, to fill that gulf between holy God and sinful people. How great you are, Lord. How great is your way. May that newness in us, Lord, may it be something that comes to mind often, that we who are in you, we who believe that you are Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lord, our Savior, that we who believe you are safely in the newness of your mediated way to the Father, the Holy Father, who is holy and pure. We praise you, Lord, for your holiness and purity, and of the blood of Christ, which you see in us instead of those ways that we are not of you. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, God the Father. Praise you, God the Holy Spirit. May we now partake with these common elements, this bread, this cup. May you bless it, Lord, to be a remembrance to us of what you have done for us. And may all who are in Christ joyfully partake. Praise to you, O Lord. Amen. Amen.